If you would, men and women, would you kindly give your names and tell us what branch of the armed services that you served in?
Johnny Owen, Army. Dallas Williams, U.S. Army.
James Lawford Critcher, U.S. Army.
James Lambert, U.S. Army.
Rob Newman, U.S. Army.
Stephanie Newman, U.S. Army.
Jerry Craven, U.S. Army. Tom Pope, U.S. Army.
Johnny Phillips, U.S. Army.
Dean Bash, U.S. Army.
Jesse Cox, U.S. Army.
Johnny C. Graves, U.S. Army.
Buddy Townsend, U.S. Navy and U.S. Army.
Jonathan Cox, U.S. Army National Guard.
These men and women that are here this morning, they've given many, many years to the service of our nation. And you and I this morning are blessed to be here and with the freedom that we have to gather and worship, because men and women like these have given up and have given over to service to something greater than serving themselves. And that's the service to this great nation that we live in today. And I thank God for men and women who serve their country in the manner that these have. We have here, I know Brother Dallas Williams is a World War II veteran. Brother Jesse Cox also served in the Reconstruction after World War II. Do we have any Korean veterans this morning? Korean veteran. Brother Johnny's a Korea, veteran of Korea. How many Vietnam veterans do we have this morning? Look at the number of Vietnam. Iraq. How many served in Iraq? All of these served in Iraq. And we thank God for these. And as a token of our appreciation, we'd like to present you with a gift this morning called If My People. It's a 40-day prayer guide for our nation. And just as a humble token of appreciation, we want to present this to you today. And may God richly bless you. And I've got something a little different for y'all, because this is a married couple serving their country. And they serve their country together, and I thank God. And so we want to give you a book, but we also will give you a pen to go with it. Men and women of God, would you stand with us and give these men a standing, these ladies a standing ovation this morning? You may be seated this morning. I'm going to ask these veterans, if you would, to go back and to your seats. And we're going to have a song that's going to be sung this morning. It's going to be dedicated in your honor. And I hope you enjoy the song this morning.
So I'll just thank you. altar to pray. Stripes that can heal and a blood that can save.
Thank you, Lord, today that we can honestly and truly say in our hearts, we have been so blessed. God, we are so blessed to be in the presence of these men and women that serve our nation. God, I thank you for them. The years, Lord, that they have sacrificed, Father, families and friends and loved ones, they've sacrificed over and over again for the cause of this great nation. And I thank God for them. Lord, I pray. Let this be a day, let this be a week, Father, to celebrate what they do for our country. Lord God, let them know that they are so appreciated here and that we love them, Lord. And God, we are so glad that they serve our nation. And Lord God, I pray that you would use this service today, that it might bring honor and glory unto Jesus Christ, the one who truly has set us free. And Lord, there may be someone here today that doesn't know freedom, freedom in the Spirit. Lord, they're bound today by the things of sin. Lord God, I pray, let the Word of God touch their hearts that they may come and draw nigh unto Jesus, that He can set them free, Lord. God, I pray today that You'd help us, Lord, as Your children, to understand what being a good soldier is all about. God, I pray, help us to commit our lives to serving You in a greater way. And we'll thank You and love You for it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Folks, ever since this nation was founded, soldiers have made a difference that frankly should never be forgotten. Soldiers make a difference in this world, a difference for which you and I should be eternally grateful. Therefore, it should be no surprise to us that the Bible uses a good soldier as a model for you and me about how we are to live for Christ. And this morning, I want us to see where the Bible tells us that there are three necessary characteristics that are required in all of us if we too are going to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you would look back with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's find out what these three requirements are that if we're going to be a good soldier for Christ, we must possess. The first thing I want you to see today is requirement number one, characteristic number one that we must possess to be a good soldier is we must have a fighting spirit. We must possess a fighting spirit. The Bible says in verse number 3, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." The words endure hardness simply mean to endure or to live through the afflictions of this life. And Paul is saying here that if we are going to be successful as good soldiers for Jesus Christ, we must possess a spirit that fights through the hardness that we face. A spirit that fights through the afflictions of life. A spirit that fights through the turmoils that come our way. Paul said we are to endure hardness as a good soldier. A bad soldier goes AWOL on the field of battle, but a good soldier stands his post. A good soldier refuses to retreat until the order is given. A good soldier fights until there's no ammunition left. A good soldier fights until the battle is won. And God says if we're going to be a good soldier for Christ, then we are to possess a fighting spirit. When Dwight D. Eisenhower was president of the United States from 1953 to 1961, he received a letter from an 8-year-old boy by the name of Keith Aiken. Keith Aiken lived in the town of Trumbull in Connecticut. And Keith lived during the time of the Cold War that some of those that we were with yesterday was talking about. And Keith Aiken lived in the time of the Cold War, as many of y'all did. And he wrote in his letter to Dwight Eisenhower, he said, quote, he said, "After listening to the news about the Cold War, I'm worried about the people in the world. In thinking it over, I have a plan. Get all the leaders together who want war, put them in a ring, and let them fight it out." And that was the 8-year-old's response as to the threat of war. And you know what I think, though, a lot of times as Christians, if we're not careful, there are men and women of God that are on the battlefield for Jesus today. I mean, in the trenches fighting for the souls of mankind. And a lot of the folks today and a lot of the church today simply stands back and says, you know what? Let's just let them fight it out. They're the ones that are in the warfare. They're the ones that are in the soldiers. But can I remind you today that God has called all of us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not to be one that lays down at our post. Not to be one that shirks the duty of our commander-in-chief. But Jesus Christ has given you and I a commission. And He said, "Go ye therefore into all nations." And He said, "Preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, teaching them," the Bible says. And we must understand the Great Commission is for all of us, and we are to be in the trenches in the warfare of this world because we are saving souls from a devil's hell. We are reaching down to those that have no hope. We are reaching down to those that don't have the answer. We are reaching down to those that the world cannot supply anything to, and we're lifting them up from the pit of hell, from the miry clay, and Jesus Christ saves their soul. We are to endure hardness, the Bible says, as a good soul. Soldier. In the book of Numbers chapter 32, Moses faced the same dilemma that the church faces today. People on the battlefield and others who don't want to be involved. And the Bible says here that there were certain tribes that were headed to the promised land. And the Bible said the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben came unto Moses and said, "You know, Moses, we like this land on this side, the promised land. I know y'all got to go over there and fight for your land, but you know what? This land's just fine for us over here. And you just go ahead and go over and fight if you want to. But we're going to take our cattle and we're going to take our herds and we're going to settle down on this side of Jordan over here because it perfectly satisfies what we want and what we need and what we desire." And And Moses gave them a reply. Boy, I like the reply of Moses right here. In verse number 6 of Numbers 32, Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And folks, that ought to be a question that all of us ask. We need to support the men and women in our armed forces, those that are serving this great nation. I'm sick of seeing the picketers picketing our good soldiers. I'm sick of seeing the anti-war crowd sitting there and talking about our soldiers and running our soldiers down and calling them warmongers and all these things. Folks, if it wasn't for the soldiers on the lines today, if it wasn't for these men and women in the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines and the Coast Guard and the National Guard, folks, if it wasn't for those people, you and I wouldn't have the freedom to be sitting here today. I lift up our soldiers today. I lift them up because they're precious in my sight. I lift them up because I know that my freedom today is secure because they're on the front lines. They're the ones putting their life on the line. They're the ones that would take a bullet for me. They're the ones that would give their life for this great country. And I'm tired of seeing the folks put them down. But folks, we need to honor our soldiers today. But can I tell you, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, it's time that all the church get involved in the glory of God. It's time that all the church get involved in the work of the kingdom. It's time that 10% stop doing the 90% of the 90% that won't even do the 10%. Folks, we need everybody to get on board with this. It's time that people stop flighting around and in and out on God and here and there and yonder and running around, as you said today, going after divers doctrines and strange doctrines and such. It's time that we stop coming in one week and gone for six. It's time that we get on fire for God. It's time that we serve God. Not only is it for the sake of our church, but it's also for the sake of our children. I'm going to get rid of this thing here. Let me tell you what children do. They grow up and they act like their parents. They model what they see, and they live out what they see. And folks, let me tell you something. Those that are sold out for Jesus will have children that are sold out for Jesus. And those that are flying around on Jesus will have children that fly around on Jesus. Folks, unless God comes in somehow and breaks that generational curse, that's exactly what's going to happen from generation to generation to generation. But aren't you glad, folks? I tell you what, we don't have a draft today. There's a reason we don't have a draft today, because there's enough men and women in this country that volunteer to go serve our country. Folks, we don't need a draft today because of that. I'm glad we don't have a draft, because I'm glad that there's enough people that care enough about their country to go and serve. I'm glad for that today. But folks, I tell you right now, we don't need a draft in the church either. Folks, we need people that are willing to stand up and serve God, willing to stand up and take positions where they need to work, willing to stand up and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, willing to stand firm on the counsel of God. And folks, a good soldier has a fighting spirit about himself. Let me tell you what he fights today. Number one, he fights the elements of life. Folks, a good soldier, you know what? Soldiers have to fight the elements, don't they? You following me? Soldiers fight the elements. When they go out on the battlefield, they don't go with RVs. When they go out onto the battlefield, they don't go out there and hang out in nice plush accommodations. But they fight the elements of the world. They fight deep snow. They fight burning hot deserts. They fight muddy trenches and rainfall. And they fight all these things. They have to fight not only the other things that they face, but they have to fight the elements of life as well. And there's a lot of soldiers throughout the history of the world that froze to death. A lot of soldiers that caught all kinds of diseases because of jungle warfare and things, that lost their lives because of the elements of life. But folks, Paul said, endure that hardness. Endure the elements of life. And folks, you and I need to understand that there are times when the elements of life come after us, and we're going to have to endure those things. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 3, the Bible said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. off. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what elements of life come our way. Paul said, endure that hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Things getting too hot for you in life, endure it. You feel your spirit getting cold on God, endure it. Folks, endure it as a good soldier. Not one that waves the white flag of surrender. Not one that goes AWOL from their post. But one that stands firm with Jesus, knowing that He is the one that saved you, knowing that He is the one that called you, and knowing that He is the one that will keep you and take you home to glory one day. Folks, we must fight the elements of life. But the Bible also teaches us that as a good soldier with a fighting spirit, we've got to fight the enemies of life as well. Folks, we must fight the enemies of life. No matter what you think about our political system today, or those that are in office, or our president, folks, we've got to admit, we've been pretty safe for the last 7 years. We were attacked on 9/11 of 2001, and it was the worst attack ever on human soil, even outdoing Pearl Harbor. But folks, we fought the enemies to our country. We went into the places of Afghanistan and we took down the Taliban regime. We then went on into Iraq and we took down Saddam Hussein and that brutal regime. And folks, we have secured once again the borders of this great nation. And we've got men that stand alongside as soldiers of this great nation to secure our freedom. We now have the Department of Homeland Security. They are ever watchful, looking out for our security. We have the FBI, the CIA, and you can name many others as well that's looking out for our security today. But let me tell you something. They will not cease to fight the enemies to our freedom. And folks, let me tell you something. We don't need to cease to fight the enemies to our life. Folks, there is an enemy today, and he's called the devil. And the Bible said you and I are to put on the full armor of God. We're to put on the helmet of salvation. We're to carry the sword of the Spirit. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to put on, the Bible says, shoes that are shod with our feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Folks, we need to tell you something today. We need to gird ourselves about, the loins about with truth, because we need to be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, you know what? He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said, you know where we fight at? He said, we don't fight out here in the flesh. We don't fight out here with guns and with knives and with bullets and with all kinds of other weapons. He said, we fight right here in the mind. And he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said, but you know what they do? He said, they cast down every stronghold of our mind. Let me tell you something. The devil, see, God deals with the heart, but the devil likes to work on the mind. And we need to make sure that our mind is free from the enemy. We need to make sure that our mind is focused securely on Jesus Christ, to make sure that our mind is focused on heavenly things. Folks, let me tell you something. Lay up for yourselves not treasures here on earth, because they're going to go away one day. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Folks, let me tell you today, look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. And the first thing that we must have, if we're going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, is we must have a fighting spirit today. Secondly, we must have a singular focus. A singular focus. The Bible says in verse number 4, 2 Timothy 2, he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Let me tell you something about that. Jesus said, get your eyes off of the world and get your eyes on the prize. No man that warreth. And all of us are warring today, whether we realize or not. We're warring and battling for our life today. Because the devil is as a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. And we are warring today. And the Bible tells us that if a soldier is going to be a good soldier, he can't have his eyes looking in every other direction, but he must be focused on the encampment of the enemy. You and I need to make sure we keep the devil in our sights at all times. Because he's going to sneak up on us. He's going to try to outflank us. There may be times he'll just build up forces and just come at us head on. But we need to keep our eyes on the devil, because we don't need to let ourselves get focused on the things of this world, let ourselves get distracted. But those of us that are warring need to make sure we stay focused on what we're doing. The great writer C.S. Lewis said, if you aim at heaven, you get earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you get neither. You think about that. Think about that. How many people today are living for this life? How many people, folks, that's not a good soldier for Christ. How many folks today are living for this life? Living from day to day for this life. And the things of this life determine who they are. And the things of this life determine the direction that they go in. But folks, let me tell you something. If you'll aim at heaven, you'll get earth along with it. See, the meek shall inherit the earth. Aren't you glad for that this morning? But he said, if you'll aim at earth, you're going to miss it all. You won't get anything at all. But I'm glad today that we can know that if we're warring and we stayed focused on Jesus Christ, he'll reward us in that great day. Aren't you glad for that this morning? During the Civil War, Union Major by the name of Sullivan Bellew wrote a letter to his wife, to whom he had been married only 6 years. And the letter said the following, quote, and I've shortened this letter down to give it a little emphasis. But he said, quote, he said, my very dear Sarah, the indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. Lest I should not be able to write again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I shall be no more. I know how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of the Revolution. And I'm willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to help maintain this government and to pay that debt. Sarah, my love for you is deathless. Yet my love for country comes over me like a strong wind that bears me irresistibly on with all these chains to the battlefield. If I do not return, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I love you. And when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name. Forgive my many faults and the many pains I have caused you. How thoughtless, how foolish I have oftentimes been. Sarah, do not mourn for me as dead. Think I am gone and wait for me. For we shall meet again, end quote. Major Sullivan Bellew was then killed 1 week later in the First Battle of Bull Run. You know what Sullivan Bellew was saying in his letter? He's saying, I'm willing to put down all the pleasures of life to maintain this great government that was founded. And he says, I'm willing to lay my life that, yes, I'd much rather be back at home with my wife that I love so dear. He had two boys as well. He said, I'd much rather be at home with those two boys. If you'll read in his letter, he said, he writes about where I'll never be able to see them grow up. But I trust in your care as a mother, Sarah, that you'll raise them right. And so on and so on. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I'm willing to lay it all down because I am focused on what I've been called to do. And folks, let me tell you something. That's exactly what God wants from all of us. God said, unless you're willing to give up father, willing to give up mother, willing to give up children, willing to give up everything in this life, come and follow him. He said, you cannot be my disciple. You say, preacher, I don't know. I want to show you something real quickly this morning. But the Bible tells us there was somebody else that done the same thing. The Bible tells us this. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, I want you to go with me here for just a moment. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, real familiar passage of Scripture if you know what's going on. But there's something in here that I want to show you this morning. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, here was old David, and the Bible said that it came the time of the year when the kings would go into battle. David stayed at home. And the Bible said that it came to pass when the evening came up, David arose up and looked out, and there he saw this woman. And the Bible said this woman was beautiful and she was washing herself. She's taking a bath. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, this is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto his house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Brought her home, slept with her, now she's pregnant. David sent to Joab, who was his captain, said, send me Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah was come into him, David demanded of him, how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. David said to Uriah, he said, "Hey, Uriah," he said, "I got an idea here." He said, "Go on down to your house and wash your feet." Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. Old David's buttering him up. He's telling him, "Go home to your wife and I'll pay for dinner." That's what he's saying. "Go home to your wife and I'll buy dinner for you." The Bible said, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his Lord and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down to his house," David came back unto Uriah and said, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down to thine house?" Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. My lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife?" He said, "As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." You know what he said? He said, "David," he said, "I don't care what you offer me. I don't care how close I am to home." He said, "I am focused on one thing. I have the enemy in my sights and I'm focused on winning the battle." Let me tell you something, church. We need a mess of Christians to rise up in this generation and say, "Let me tell you something. I don't care what the plush accommodations of this world is. I don't care what the world offers me. But I've got the devil in my sights and I'm going to fight. I'm going to war. I'm going to stay focused. And I'm not going to let anything deter me from serving my Lord." And Uriah refused, even with that offer, he refused to go home. You know what he had? He had a singular focus. A singular focus. Let me ask you today. Do you have a singular focus today? Is your focus upon Jesus Christ? And nothing that this world offers you can turn you away from that? Are you singularly focused in serving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength? Can you honestly stand before God today and say, "God, I love you with everything about me, and I'll serve you with all that I've got. It doesn't matter what comes my way. It doesn't matter what hardness I must endure. It doesn't matter what the devil offers me." You remember Jesus, the Bible said, was taken up unto a high mountain by the Holy Ghost, and the devil met him there. One of the things the devil said, he said, "Take a look right here. Look out and see all of these kingdoms of the world." He said, "If you'll bow down and worship me," he said, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world." Hey, let me tell you something. Jesus said, "It's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "You're not going to deter me." He said, "I love my Father and I'm going to serve Him with everything I've got. You will not offer me everything this world has, but I'll just take God." Let me tell you something, church. We need, as Christians today, to stand up in this generation and say, "Devil, it doesn't matter what you offer me today, whether it be wealth, whether it be prestige, whether it be good health, whether it be big families, no matter what it is, I don't care what you offer me today. I'd just rather have Jesus. He's all I need. He's all I'll ever need. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go all the way with you, even to the end of the world." Aren't you glad He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? He's there for you when you need Him, when nobody else is there. Aren't you glad in the middle of the night He comes your way and joy comes in the morning? Give God a praise this morning. Hey, aren't you glad today? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is all that you and I will ever need in this life. We need to have a singular focus. And lastly and finally, we must have a sincere faith. We must have a sincere faith. Because the Bible says this. Two things about this faith. He says, if you and I have a sincere faith today, He said, it will rouse you and I to excellence. It will rouse us to excellence. You know what He said? He said, the reason that I refuse to get distracted, the reason that I refuse to lose focus, is so that I may please Him. I don't know about anybody else, but I want excellence in my life when it comes to serving God. I want to be the best I can be for Jesus. I ain't always the best I can be for Jesus. I make some mistakes. I don't do the right thing sometimes. But boy, I'll tell you right now, I want to be the best I can be. And you know what? I'm not going to let myself get distracted by the things of this world. I'm not going to let myself get distracted by all kinds of things that's going on. I know of a preacher this week, distracted by a woman. Got mixed up with a woman. Now he's lost his ministry. Losing his family and everything else. Let me tell you something. I ain't going to get distracted by the world, brother. Because I'm working not to please this old flesh, brother. This old flesh has desires and things. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not working to please this old flesh. And brother, I love you. I ain't working to please you neither. I'm working to please Him. I'm working to please Him. I'm staying focused on Him. He's the one that I'll please today. Why? Because He's the one I'll answer to. He's the one that I got to stand before and give an account of all the things done in my life, whether they be good or bad. For we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, those of us that are saved. And let me tell you something. It's going to rouse within me excellence, the faith of God that come into my life and I placed in the Lord Jesus to save me. He saved me from my sin. He saved me from all the mess of my life. He washed me with His own precious blood, placed within me His sweet Holy Spirit, and He walks with me every day. How could that not rouse me to excellence in serving Him? How could I be slack on my God? How could I then be chomping around, going after this and chasing after that and running after that? How in the world could I slap Him in the face and say, I'd rather have this over here, or count the blood of the covenant as an unclean thing and just step all over? How could I do that to my God? Oh, God forbid that any of us would do that to Jesus. He saved you this morning, glory to God. He washed you in His own precious blood. Nobody else will ever do that for you. Nobody else can do that for you. How dare you and I ever do anything but our absolute best for Him? It ought to rouse in our spirits excellence in our service to Him. A university professor told the story of being invited to speak at a military base one December. And there he met an unforgettable soldier by the name of Ralph. Ralph had been sent to meet him and pick him up at the airport. And after they had introduced themselves, they headed toward the baggage claim. And as he walked down the concourse, old Ralph just kept disappearing. He stopped once to help an older woman whose suitcase had fallen open. Another time he lifted up two toddlers where they could see the planes coming in. And then, again a third time, he gave directions to someone who was lost. Each time he came back with a smile on his face. And this professor looks over at Ralph and says, "Where'd you learn all that?" "What?" said Ralph. "Where'd you learn to live like that?" the professor said. "Oh," Ralph said, "it was during the war, I guess." He then told the professor about his tour of duty in Vietnam and how it was his job to clear out the minefields. And he told of how he watched his friends one after another that were killed before his eyes by the mines exploding under their feet. He said, "You know what, professor?" He said, "I learned to live between the steps." He said, "I never knew whether the next one would be my last, so I learned to get everything I could out of the moment between when I picked up my foot and when I set it down again. Every step I took was a whole new world, and I guess I've just been that way ever since." Let me tell you what Ralph says. He says, "I didn't know if the step I took was going to be my last one, so I was going to get everything I could out of that one step." Let me tell you something. That faith right there rouses you to excellence. Can I tell you today, you don't have the promise of the next 5 minutes. You and I don't have the promise of the next breath that we take. And every step of life, the Bible says, we're just a step between us and death. And that very next step you take may be your step into death. And can I encourage you today and implore you by the name of Jesus to get everything you can out of every step that you take in life, because you'll never make up those steps again. The steps that you walk, you'll never trot them again. And if you walk those steps carelessly, if you walk those steps without a purpose in life, you'll never reclaim those steps again. You need to redeem the time. The Bible says we need to count every day that we live as a blessing from God, and we need to live it with all the excellence that we can live it for Jesus. It ought to rouse our spirits. And hey, sincere faith not only rouses us to excellence, but it remembers our enlistment. it remembers our enlistment. The Bible says that no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, he said that he may please him. Well, who's him? The one who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what faith does? When you walk by faith, it remembers your enlistment. I remember the day that God enlisted me into His army. Brother Eric, I wasn't worthy, brother. And I didn't choose to be in that army. John 15 and 16, God tells His disciples, He said, you have not chosen me. He said, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. I didn't choose Jesus. I didn't choose to be saved. I didn't choose to serve Him. I certainly didn't choose to preach for Him. But Jesus chose me one day. And I remember my enlistment day. I remember when it was too. I remember where it happened at. Don't you remember that day? Don't you remember that day when Jesus came down, Brother Tom, to where you is at, brother? Remember that day that He saved you, hallelujah. Washed all your sins away. Remember that day, wherever it's at. For some it might have been at the altar of the church. For some it may have been in your house. For others it may have been in a meeting somewhere else. But it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you can remember that day, that you can remember that place. Remember your enlistment, church. Jesus Christ went to Calvary's tree so He could save you, wash all of your sins away, and enlist you into this great army. Hallelujah. Remember your enlistment day. Brother Ward, I walk every day of my life, brother, remembering the day that God enlisted me into this service. I never forget the day. Oh, I may not remember all the details surrounding that day. I don't even remember, Brother Jesse, what I did that day. But boy, I remember what I did that night. I remember what happened when Jesus came by. I don't know where I went that day, who I talked to or anything. All I know is Jesus came by one night. All I know is when He came by, He began to speak to my soul. And He began to draw me by the power of His Holy Spirit. And I'm glad today that I came to Jesus Christ and I repented of my sins and I put my trust in what He did on Calvary. It was enough to save me. Hallelujah. He enlisted me, bless God. And I'm going to serve Him all of my days as a good soldier for Jesus. Can I ask you today, what's your enlistment day mean to you? What's your enlistment day mean to you? For some, you can see openly what it means to them. They're giving their all to Jesus. Some of these men and women that are here today that are serving the armed forces right now, they can tell you what their enlistment day meant to them. Especially those that re-enlist. They only go once, they re-up again and go again. Let me tell you something. They know what their enlistment day means to them. But there's others today. You were enlisted into the family of God and in this great army. But by God looking down in your life, can He tell that it means anything to you? Can He tell by your service to Him? Can He tell by your dedication to Him? Can He tell by your love to Him? Can He tell? I'm not asking if you're dedicated to anything else. I'm asking you, are you dedicated to Jesus? He enlisted you. He thought enough of you to die for you. He thought enough of you to give His own blood. He thought enough of you to establish the church. He thought enough of you to provide all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He thought enough of you to do those things. He thought enough of you to go and prepare a place for you that where He is, there you can be also. And He thinks enough of you, He's going to come back and get you one day and take you to be with Him because He wants to live with you forever. He don't want to spend one moment away from you. That's how much He thinks of you. How much do you think of Him? How much do you think of Him? Tell by your actions, how much do you think of Him? Tell by how much that you serve God as you think of Him. God called us to endure hardness as a good soldier. Serving God with all of our heart. Loving Him with all of our soul and might and body and strength. That's the first commandment, He says. And loving our neighbor as ourselves sums it all up. Let me ask you today, what do you think about your enlistment? Hey, You may say, "Preacher, you're right. I was enlisted one day. I can remember the day. I can remember the hour. I can remember where I was at when I got enlisted. Boy, how good a day that was. And how I'm so thankful what Jesus did for me." But you know what, preacher? I was warring for a while. But I began to get entangled. I lost focus. I got my eyes off of Christ. I got my eyes on the world. I got my eyes on things of the flesh and the things of the world. And I went AWOL on God. Preacher, can I get back in? You think Jesus would take me back into that army? You think I could go back and serve again on the front lines? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that weary, heavy laden." He said, "I'll give you rest." He said, "Anyone that comes unto me," he said, "I'll in no wise cast out." He says, "If you and I will confess our sins, he'll beat us over the head for doing them." No, that's not what he said. He said, "If you and I will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You say, "Preacher, how do I get back in then? How do I get back into the battle? I'm a soldier. I'm still in the army, but I'm AWOL. How do I get back in?" You come back in repentance. It's that simple. You come back saying, "God, I realize what I've done. I realize what happened. I lost focus. I realize those things. I lost focus. And hey, I'm going to come back. 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 God, will you take me? Yes, I will. God, will you still love me? Yes, I will. God, do you have a place I can serve? Yes, I do. Who else? Who else this morning? Who else? You're saved in the army, but you're entangled now, lost your focus. God loves you. And let me tell you something, he's still focused on you. He never lost his focus. He still sees you. He still loves you. He wants you to come back. That old father had that old boy we like to call the prodigal son. That old boy said, "Father, give me all that inheritance is mine and let me out of here." Old dad gave him all of his riches there. It belonged unto him. It was inherited to him. Boy went out in the world. Spent it all on riotous living, the Bible says. Next thing you know, he's broke. Didn't have a friend in the world. Went out. Had to find a job somewhere. Went to feeding the swine. Feeding old nasty hogs, which by the way was a horrible thing for a Jew to do. Went out feeding them old swine. He thought to himself, he said, "You know what? He said, even the servants have it better at my father's house than I do, and yet I'm out here perishing with hunger." He said, "I'm going to rise and I'm going to go back to my father's house." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "When I get there to my father's house," he said, "I'm going to tell my father, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just make me as one of your hired servants. I'll just work like the rest of them." And the old father, the Bible said that old boy got up and went back. And there's that father still standing out in the front yard. Might have been on the porch, I don't know. But there he was, standing out in the front yard, looking out in the direction, the last direction he saw his boy leaving. He didn't turn his head looking this way. He didn't turn, he just looked out in the direction he knew his boy went, and there he stood still looking in that direction. And old boy come back over top of that hill, and there he came. And can't you see that old father? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can't you see him today? There he was. You just see his little old chin start to quiver. You just see the old tears just start welling up in his eyes. You just see his heart get that old knot down inside. And he said, "Wait a minute, now it kind of looks like my old boy right there." He said, "But he couldn't be. He hadn't been around in a long time." And the next thing you know, he's taking a few more steps. He's getting a little closer. He's getting a little closer. And he says, "You know what? I believe that is my boy." And he gets a little closer. And he says, "Oh, you know it is. embraces him. And the Bible said he runs out to his boy and he embraces him, puts his arm around him, and he says, "Hey," he says, "my boy who was lost is found again." He said, "My boy who was dead is alive." Hallelujah. He said, "We're going to party tonight." He said, "Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a celebration." He said, "Come, put a robe around him, glory to God. Get a ring, put it on his finger. I want everybody to see this is my boy right here." Oh, aren't you glad today? If you'll come back to Jesus, he'll put his arms around you. He'll love you this morning. He'll give you a place again. Hallelujah. He'll do that for you today. He'll do that. He'll do that. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. Why? Why would that old father do that for him? Because he loved him. Because he loved him. And that, folks, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. I'd ask you to stand this morning. Brother Eric, brother, would you get us a song this morning? God's been here this morning. And you know what? I don't believe He's left. I don't believe He's left. As they come, I'd ask you to bow your head just a moment this morning. You know what? You may be here today. And you say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I don't have an enlistment day. I've never been born again. God is dealing with me today. I sense God is choosing me today to be saved. Preacher, my heart is burdened today. When you pray, would you remember me today? Would there be a one you slip your hand up? Nobody's going to look at you, drag you, pull on you, even call your name. Wouldn't do a thing to embarrass you today. Would you say, 'Preacher, I'm not saved. Never been born again.' Would you come? What would you raise your hand? Pray for me when you pray. Pray for me. Maybe you're here today. You say, 'Preacher, I've been saved. I was enlisted. I even remember my enlistment day. But you know what? I've been entangled. I lost focus. And I know my life's not pleasing to Him right now. Preacher, God's dealt with me today. Would you remember me when you pray?' Would there be a hand this morning that will go up? God bless that hand. Would there be another? Would there be another this morning while we just wait? God bless that hand. How about another? Would there be another? I'll not embarrass you, I promise you. Would there be another? I'm saved, but right now my life's just not pleasing to Him. I'm out of focus. I want to pray for you today. God loves you. He's got a place for you, I promise you. But would you come to Him today? Father, I love you. Oh God, I thank you. I wasn't worthy of your great love, but Lord, you love me. I praise you, Lord. God, I thank you for how you've moved already in our service. God, I pray now as these have raised hands, Lord. You know where they're at right now. You've never lost focus on them. God, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, encourage their hearts today. Simply just to come. Lord, draw them in your love and grace and mercy. Draw them, let them come today. Lord God, you can place them once again back where they need to be with Thee. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.